Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Lord, we sit before you with open hearts. Lord, with open ears, Lord, we just tune. We incline our ear to you, Lord, because we know that you incline your ear to us. And Lord, we ask today that it would be no different, that as we confess things in our heart and we allow you to dig deep, Lord, we ask that you would bring forth a healing. Lord, that you would bring forth a healing. You know, church, a lot of times in my younger years before I was saved and just after I came to the Lord, I would sit in services like this and I would hold fast to the hurt and the pain that I didn't even know that I had in my heart. And I often wonder, why? Why won't they get away and why won't they move away from talking about this? And why don't they just talk about other things? And why don't they move from and go to? Through a constant submission and through a constant surrender, I realized that a lot of the times it wasn't just for me. Selfishness was broken off my life. But you know that a lot of times the Lord will move in a service for one. The Lord would shift the room. He would speak a word for one. And if you don't believe this, if you don't believe this to be true, how do you explain Jesus stopping at a well and speaking to a woman about the sin and about the weaknesses in her life? While everybody else was waiting for him to come to their town, why would Jesus stop? Why would Jesus go to another region so that he could meet with a widow who had a request for her daughter? Why would he put everything else off so that he could minister to one? Because he's love and because he's freedom. And if he sees an opportunity to impart his light into a heart of a man or a woman, he will do just that. He will stop everything he's doing to minister to one. And it might be one today, it might be two, it might be five. It might be the multitude, it might be 90% of us in this room that have had an experience like Annette and have walked in this place of shame and guilt for years, not believing that the fullness of the gospel and the fullnesses of the promises of God are for them because of what they have done. Because of a gate that they've opened. Because of a sin that they walked into. A lot of us sit here half full because we don't believe the Lord wants to fully fill us. And we have just enough for today and just enough to get through. And maybe, just maybe, he'll answer my prayer if I pray it in the right way. What God wants to do today is bring you into full sonship. What God wants to do today is heal your heart so that he can fully consider you or have you consider yourself a child of God. Do you know what you call a boy that is adopted? A son. Not the adopted son, but a son. And this is the word that I'm hearing being spoke over us today is sonship. 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 Fully healed. Fully full. Surrendered. Ready. I had this experience and I feel it important for today. This will actually be the third sermon that I've prepared for this morning. I thank the Lord that he has me prepare things in advance now so that I can walk into it in a moment's notice. I learned a long time ago from a father of mine to never prepare a message, just always keep the messenger prepared. I like that. Say it again. Yeah. That's a good word for today. How many of you could honestly say, I just want to be refreshed. I just want to be refreshed. It's been tough. It's been a hard season. And it might not be the shame that's hanging over your life, but it might be something that's caused you to feel condemned and oppressed. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about you not walking in fear, therefore oppression cannot visit you. That was message 2 of 3 for this morning. I might get to it at 11:30. But I want to talk to you about an experience. And it was like a mental image. I hesitate on calling it a vision. It wasn't an open vision, but I had this mental image, this mental vision of Jesus walking in, and we were in the West End, and I pictured him, the doors flying open, and Jesus just walking into the room. And just as he crested the door, you felt this relief and this release. And he started going around and he started putting his finger on areas in the lives of those who were in the midst of the congregation. And I shared this in the 5 p.m. service of that day. It was such a powerful moment, and it lasted the entirety of the day until we got out of the evening service. I just kept seeing more and more and more of this image unfold. I just kept seeing these things as if they were reality. And he walked in the room and he began putting his finger on people's lives in the areas that they were hurt. Some of us, it was our hearts, and some of us, it was a physical pain. Do you know that a hindrance is a hindrance, whether it's mental, physical, emotional? A hindrance is a hindrance. If you have a bad back, what do you end up doing all day? You just lay on the couch. It hinders you from doing what you wanted to do that day. A hindrance is a hindrance. And Jesus was walking around the room and he was putting his finger on these places that were weaknesses. And I'm going to read it. This is what I saw. I saw Jesus come into the room and he walked about. And as he walked about, he started putting his finger on the weak areas of our lives. He did this not to expose us, but to expose the very thing that's been holding us back from walking in his fullness. And as I'm seeing this unfold in the morning service, he brings me to a well in Samaria. And he shows me this woman who has lived a life. She would be blessed if she was a quarter full because of what she had given away in her life. Studies show that with each sexual partner that you have in your life, they carry a piece of you with them for the rest of the life, and you become the shell of a person that God created you to be. I could just imagine the shame and the guilt that this woman had oppressed, just kept covered in her life, acting like everything is normal. We're so good at it. You know, we think this is our persecution, but we wear masks every day. We have secret sins and we have things that we hide from other people. And when I walk up to you, especially as a pastor, and I ask you, how was your week? And you say, man, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed. God is good. And I know that hell is going on in your life. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody who is TMI and wants to share way too much information. I ask how their week was, and they just download all the crap that they've been going through. And I'll tell you this right now. I'll take that every single time. Because when you know, that I can set this out here, and there's a place that it will be dealt with in love and it will be received in love. There's a freedom in that. There's a step to healing. And this woman had a face-to-face encounter with love, with the redeeming nature of the Father God who is standing before her, asking her questions that she'd never been asked before, telling her things that only she knew. She expresses to him, "Oh, this is so amazing. I can't believe you're here." He says, "Listen, why don't you go get your husband?" Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He put his finger on the weakness in her life, not to expose her, but to heal her. Saying, "I know what's been going on in your life. I know it, and you hide it so well. I'm not doing this to show you off in front of people or to even show how great that I am or to expose you so that I can hurt you." And we've been so guarded in our lives because we've been so hurt by people. We're so guarded because we know how we've hurt people. And the problem is, and here's the thing, is by this nature, we judge the world. We judge everything. How many of us have gone with this new legislation that they want to wear masks? And we think this is persecution. Listen, if this is your persecution, how weak does God think the church is? When men and women on the other side of the world are losing their life for their faith, we think it's persecution because the government wants us to put on a mask. Give me a break. That's pathetic. I wear it not only to be an example, but I wear it because I refuse to go into another shutdown. I enjoy my freedoms. I enjoy being able to go to a restaurant. I enjoy being able to go to the mall and grabbing a new pair of jeans. I like shopping on Amazon, but sometimes I got brothers got to try something on. Want to climb mountains? Come on, Derek. But we know how we've treated others and we know how others have treated us and we become so good at just masking things. It might be shame, it might be guilt, it might be an addiction, it might be whatever it is that you're holding undercover. It might be that time that you say, "Listen, my back's sore, I don't need prayer. I'll get through it. I know who my God is." Why don't you let somebody pray for you? Jesus saw this woman and she gets so excited and she's so encouraged at what's going on. She just wants to tell everybody. Well, Jesus said, "Hey, before we go any further, why don't you get your husband so I can minister to the both of you?" And she knew in that moment she had a major issue. She says, "Sir, I don't have a husband." Thinking that she's going to mask this issue as well. She's going to mask her shame. She's going to mask her guilt. She's going to mask her weakness. But she had no idea who she was standing with. She was standing with the redeeming arm of the Father. She was standing with love. She was standing to the manifest word of the Creator. He said, "You have not spoken truth until this moment." You know why we confess before our God? So that He knows that we know what we need to be healed of. Think about it. God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart, but He wants to know that you know what you need to be fixed up. He wants to know what you know. He wants to know that you need to be free from guilt and that you need to be free from shame and that you need to forgive a father. You need to forgive a mother. You need to just cast off the word. God, they said stuff to me that I don't want to say to anybody. The things that I heard spoke over my life. I would never speak to my worst enemy. Well, tell that to God. I don't have a husband. She confessed it. She opened the door and He said, "You have said it rightly, but you've had five. And even the one you're with now, he's not your husband." Could you imagine what that would have made us feel like? we're standing in a service and somebody looks you right in the eyes, said, this is your sin, this is your weakness. You know what we would do? A lot of us would head for that back door and never come back to the house. If all of a sudden your mail was read, the secret things that only you know. A lot of us treat God that way. A lot of us don't press in. A lot of us don't lean in because we don't want to truly hear what He has to say. For almost 23 years, I've been walking with the Lord. And for 23 years, we've lived, we've participated in, we've watched, we've heard testimony of the most amazing miracles that you could ever hear in your life. And I would express these things. I have a mother who's stone cold deaf. I have two aunts that are deaf. It's the weirdest thing. There's five sisters, three of them are deaf for no way, reason or anything. None of us are deaf. None of my grandchildren are deaf. Well, I only have one, but he's not deaf. You know, it's just this weird manifest gene that came out of nowhere. And I asked my mom, I would tell her constantly about the things that God was doing and how He could heal. I used to take prayer cloths, and when she was sleeping, I would put them in her pillowcase, believing for God to heal her. She says to me one day, after my father passed away and she's trying to manage finances and do all her thing. And she said to me, she said, I just wish I could hear. And as a man who believes in healing and believes in the manifest presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, I asked her, Mom, do you want to be healed? She looked at me right in the eyes. And she said, no, too much would change. And I could just picture Jesus marveling at her statement, like, wow, okay. A lot of us, listen, He's not going to do something in you that you don't want done. And this woman had every right in her own eyes to walk away, to say, you don't know what you're talking about. And how dare you say these things to me? But instead of walking away, the love caused her to lean in and ask even deeper to what it is that you know that I might not even know. What is it that you know that I don't know? And if you know this about me, how can I be set free from it? How can I be set free from it? Then the Lord began to speak to me about exposure and how He exposes the darkness so that He can impart His light. I was just thankful that I wasn't preaching on the West that morning, because the Lord had me in such a place. It was almost like, you ever had an experience with the Lord when He just held you down? He just held you in a place and just began walking you through processes. This is what I felt like, His hands were on my shoulder and steering me and causing me to watch around the room. Began teaching me about how He puts His finger on a weakness, not to expose us, not to bring shame, but to expose the shame, to expose the guilt, to expose the weakness, to expose the darkness so that He can impart His light and heal us. We used to have this woman, man, and this woman, I mean, we y'all think you are weird sometimes. We had some weird people that came to our church in Ontario. Don't get me wrong, I love Ontario. Just never want to go back. Bless the Lord. But she would sit there, and every service she would cry her eyes out. Every service. And her husband didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was going on. We obviously knew she was dealing with something. Then she had a meeting with us. She said, I had an affair on my husband. I've never told him. And I don't know what to do. She would sit there and she would blame God for making her cry and blame God for making her feel guilty. Blame God for making her feel shame. She never told her husband. She left the church. And to this day, as far as I know, not serving the Lord. But God was bringing that up. He was putting his finger on her weakness and on her shame and on her guilt, not to expose her, but to heal her so that he can impart his light, that he can impart his life, that he could heal her heart, heal her soul, heal her mind, heal her marriage, heal her family. Did God ever say it was going to be easy? The process was going to be easy? No. But he promises it'll be worth it. It's never fun dealing with the things that come up before you. It's never fun dealing with the moments that come up before you. Do you think it's enjoyable sitting on a couch with your wife and she starts telling you things, some of your weaknesses because of the way that you're making her feel? We've had this conversation on many occasions, and every time in the moment, it makes me feel dirty and less than a man and like I hadn't been a good husband. But she's only telling me so that we could fix the problem, so that we could become closer. Divorce has never been in our vocabulary. So things are brought up so that we can heal them, so that we can ask the Lord to intervene, so that we can become closer. The Lord wants to heal things in your life so that he can bring you closer to him, because it's him who wants this relationship. We have to long for him like he longs for us. He started talking to me about John the Baptist and how he began to declare, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when he talks about this sin, he's talking about the root of sin. It's called hamartia, which is the actual offense against God. It's not the things that we do each and every day that offend God. It's the actual offense. It goes right back to the beginning of it all, where it talks about that Adam and Eve offended God and there was a separation. When John declares the Lamb is coming, that is coming forth, and he's going to abolish the sin in the world, he's talking about the root offense, the beginning of it all, the sinful nature of man, as opposed to the sin that we know in the New Testament of the one that causes us just to miss the mark. Our great ability to lie and to deceive and the secret things that we hold. He's going beyond this and he's talking about the root of sin. Each and every one of us have a root. We have a place that it all began, that the door was opened. And if we go back there far enough, and if the Lord allows us to, those of us who are in the room today that feel this hindrance between God and me, and you don't, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but we know what it feels like to be hindered. And a lot of us express at different occasions and different times that God just feels so far away. Well, he's not the one that moved. You know, there's a young man in the Old Testament. His name is Mephibosheth. Say Mephibosheth. Try to say that one with your mask on. Mephibosheth. You know, this young man in the He was a grandson of Saul, a son of Jonathan. This young man, Bible declares, he was lame in his legs. And he was the last surviving member of Saul's family. And David wanted to honor his once father. So he sent out, he began to ask around, is there any member of Saul's family, of Jonathan's family, that I could honor? And this is the way they described him. Well, he has a grandson. He's under the care of Ziba, I believe it was. But he's lame. Can you imagine that was the title over your life? Can you imagine what he considered himself to be? Living under this title, living under this declaration that I'm lame, I've got no value. And we know this because as he approaches the king, he says, who am I that you come to a dog like me? And in that moment, David is a representative of the father. And Mephibosheth is a representative of we. How we come to him. And we are lame. We have nothing to offer. David looks at this young man and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to restore everything that you lost. I'm going to give you all the lands of your grandfather. And also, at my table, not at the guest table, not at the servant table, but at my table, you will eat continually. And in that moment, David took a grandson of Saul, son of Jonathan, says, I'm going to make you one of my sons. I'm going to bring you into my family. And I don't care if you've got a belly up to the table. You are welcome to sit there. A lot of us, we are hindered by what we hold in our heart. Because if we think that if we expose it before the Lord, if we expose it before the Lord, he's just going to put me out there on display. And I want to express this to you as a man who at many times in places of leadership, in moments where I'm supposed to be the father of the house and the pastor of a church, have had to come before God and confess and ask him to heal me. Not knowing whether or not, I'm not talking about major sin in my life, but let me tell you, a place of shame and a place of guilt, it will play with your mind and it will mess with you. Well, how am I even fit to be a leader if I still struggle in this area? But God, in those moments, bringing me in and covering me, because nobody covers me better than God does. Nobody covers me better than God does. And as I watch Jesus walk around the room, he would continually put his finger on people's lives. Knowing that what he was doing wasn't offensive, but it was to help and to bring out so that he could pour in. He began speaking to me about Peter's weakness and how he would speak first and listen later. And how Peter, his weakness was, he was an incredible starter, but he was a horrible finisher. How he would run out before everybody like, we like to do at long distance running. We just get out there as fast as we can because if we think we put enough distance between the first guy, me, and the second guy, then I'll have enough comfort only realizing that down the road they will pass you because they have paced themselves. how Peter was a horrible star, a great starter, but a horrible finisher, that his lesson was trust through the process and not just to run out on adrenaline. Not just run out on adrenaline and a correct answer. He showed me that the areas he put his finger were the areas that he was giving us the opportunity to walk out of, to experience his freedom. He showed me that the root of sin, John 1:29, that root of sin is self. And he called us into a restorative state, returning to the garden that he created for us, the place where Adam and Eve forsook Yahweh's desire for their own. I can't walk away from a moment when we press on sin, when we press on shame, and we press on guilt, and just walk into a message that I had prepared so that we could just finish it, do our duty, and go home for the day. We have to have an ear to hear and a heart that rests on obedience. Say, yes, Lord, what do you want to do in this moment? And I'm just going to ask you, for the sake of safety of one, you're in here in this moment, you're watching online, and you know that there's been a hindrance. You know that there's been shame. You know that there's been guilt. You know that there has been a secret sin. You know that there's a place in your life that you have not fully surrendered to the Lord. He wants to give you the opportunity. He wants to give you the moment. He wants to give you an opportunity, an open door to walk out and to leave it rested at the foot of the cross. With every eye closed, with every heart open, I ask you, is that you? I'm not looking for a raised hand. My desire is a healed heart. My desire is a full life. My desire is that you would see the Lord the way that you see everybody else seeing the Lord. And you wonder, why can't I get there? Why am I always bumping up against it and then backing away? Listen, every situation that Jesus walked into was a hopeless situation. It was not unlike yours. You're not special in that way. You don't have a sin or shame in your life that nobody's had before. Our loving Savior deals with this at every moment of every day somewhere. So why not today let him heal you? Why not today let him heal you and set you free? For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You might be asking yourself, Pastor, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to walk this out. I spoke last week about the perfection that comes with pursuit. And I'm not denying that there might be deep-rooted issues in you. Maybe like Mephibosheth, because Mephibosheth, he wasn't born lame. He was lame because of the fault of another. Because of somebody else who lived in fear, dropped this young boy, broke both of his legs, and he never recovered. Could you imagine the bitterness that he held in his heart? But he has an encounter with a king that restores to him all things. Well, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So to open your heart. Just be vulnerable. Tell him what's on your heart. Lord, I hate this. I hate that I constantly have to come back to this. Every moment of breakthrough, every time I get here, I bump against this again. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Lord, deal with it, please. I take my hands off of it so that you can put your hands on it. Lord, heal me. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Listen, I don't know who this is in the room today because this isn't me. This is intercession for somebody. I'm telling you, I don't speak like this. I don't speak like this. I feel it for somebody. There's a heaviness in my heart. This is an opportunity for you to walk out of years of pain. Years of destructive behavior. Years of tears that have not been put on you because of something you've done, but because you've been dropped by somebody who's lived in fear and in weakness. And today is your day of healing. If you just open your heart, surrender yourself, just be honest. Listen, the Lord knows your heart, but he wants to know that you know what you need. So just speak it out in your heart. It doesn't have to be audibly, but speak it out. Allow your heart to speak it true. Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this. I can't do it. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm not who you created me to be. I'm a victim of environment. Lord, heal my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. This moment isn't to expose you, it's to usher you into freedom and healing. Just accept it. I want you to accept it. Just, if that's you in this room, just forget everything else that's going on. Just put your hands up and express to him how thankful you are. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What I appreciate about this woman is she knew the encounter that she just had. She knew it was a moment like none other. She knew that she had an opportunity to live apart. Do you know that when I was a young man, because of self-affliction, the guilt and the shame. Listen, when the Lord came and visited me and opened my heart, when I was fully surrendered, when I opened my heart to the Lord and he came in, you know, he healed me from so many things. But all I had experienced and all I could express it as is I just felt a sigh of relief. I just breathed a relief. But what he had taken from me that I struggled with for years was shame. And it was a guilty conscience, so much so that you know span of 4 years, nightly would be alcohol and sleeping pills. Because if I was left sober, I wouldn't be able to sleep because of the fear of that bedroom door opening or that phone ringing or somebody knocking on my door and it'd be over. And it ushered in fear because of things I was doing, people I was hurting, people I was taking from. It could have been a phone call of exposure, or it could have been somebody coming to end my life. And I remember the morning waking up and the Lord had just transformed my life. And I got out of bed and I breathed a sigh of relief. And do you know that colors were brighter? That there was a joy that was restored to me. It was a love like I'd not felt in years. What I appreciate about this woman and what I was able to do is that was the day, the week that I got saved and I went on my first mission trip. Because the same man that was preaching the gospel to me that week went around that whole resort to all of the serving staff, and we declared the gospel. We told them there was hope, and I could fully express it because of what had happened. This woman decided she wasn't going to run away from, but she was going to lean into Jesus and allow him to heal her so that she could go back and tell her townspeople about it. Listen, some of the men that she slept with were living in that town. And she said, come here, a man. Come see a man who has told me everything that I've ever done. And they went out. And they saw this man. And they were in awe and in shock. So much so that some of them believed because of her word. But then they asked Jesus to stay. And you know what happened? As he stayed and preach truth. They looked, said, listen, we believed because of your word, but now we believe because of his. There's an opportunity in this moment. I'm not saying there won't be another, but this is a window. You say, that's me. Then I want you to accept it. And if you think, I can't do this alone, well, look around the room. The Lord gave you this family so that we could walk through together, so that we could lift up, we could build up. So that we could cover you, that we could pray over you. And if you feel the need that You need to walk through this with somebody. Find somebody. Find somebody. Just take your hand and put it on your heart. You thought that Jesus was judging you because of what was here. But he was just showing you so that he could make it right. So Lord, today I stand in a place of intercession for those sitting in this room who have dealt with these heart issues for years. And we say, no more, Lord. No more, Lord. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Heal it. Heal it, heal it, heal it, heal it. Lord, set us free. Set me free from what has been in here, Lord God. Set me free from the shame and the guilt. Set me free from the pain. Set me free from the things that have been sown up. Undo them, Lord, and fix me, Lord. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my heart to you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Please sing some over us.
Oh, I can feel peace coming. I can see fear running. Your love, it just does something. Oh, I can feel peace coming. I can see fear running. To love, it just does something. Oh, I can see freedom coming. I can see fear running. Your love, it just does. Trust you as if you're can see fear running. Your love, it just does something. I can feel peace coming. And I can see shame just gently being washed away. Just gently falling away. As I fix my eyes on.
You know, when you go to say something and you can't say it, it's where I am right now. I believe the Lord has touched our hearts today. And if you're in here and you say, I didn't have guilt, shame, secret sin, it's a beautiful place to live. But the Lord still did something in your heart. And I said just off the cuff that there's a perfection that comes with pursuit. And I expressed the importance of understanding there's a root and maybe things are deep. Listen, Jesus can come in, and if Jesus could take leprosy away from a man in a moment, Jesus could take all the shame, guilt, and sin from your life in a moment. But I also understand that we have to walk a process sometimes. That doesn't mean he didn't do anything today. This is what it means, is that as you pursue, he perfects it.
That's good.
Listen, not any one of us in this room are perfect. We are all in pursuit of perfection. And in that pursuit, he perfects us. And if you're in that place, you're, Pastor, I believe the Lord has started something. I can feel it. I feel a release already. Don't step away from him. I want to tell you, it had less to do with this building than you think. And it has everything to do with the Spirit that resides in you. There's a power in a yielding and a power in surrender that allows you to walk in full healing. And as you walk out of the outside and you get into your car, I want you to stay in that mode. And that mode will change because of your environment and where you are, because you'll have lunch today and you'll meet friends today. But that doesn't mean that the spirit within you has to change. It doesn't. But just keep declaring, Lord, there's a perfection in my pursuit and I will still see healing. Declare Psalm 103 over your life. Just keep reading it over and over and over, because when we see God rightly, we see ourselves rightly. Because he's beautiful. Yeah. Aaron, what were the words? Because I'm lost for words.
And I'm hidden in you.
I'm hidden in you. You call me beautiful. Even though you don't think you're beautiful, he's still saying it to you. It's like when my wife asks me, hey, baby, do I look fat in this? And I say, baby, because I'm a wise man. I say, no, you look like a fox. She says, yeah, I'm changing still. I can tell her, you know, that she's beautiful. But if she, listen, man, that'll preach. I got 1 minute. I'm going to use it all. God sees you as righteousness. You might not feel like righteousness, but I learned a long time ago, I'd rather sigh out on the air of God than on my own folly. And if he thinks I'm righteous, I'm gonna live by that truth. If he thinks I'm beautiful, I'm gonna live by that truth. Church, there's a pursuit in perfection. I want you to rest in that today. I want you to meditate on that today, that I am healed. I am healed. And when your body tells you, no, you're not, say, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Amen.